magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Friday, July 3rd, 2020. And if you were tuned in yesterday, Joey Kroll gave a real special 4th of July themed program with a special prayer by this individual that I was captivated by the words and things that he had to say. And we're going to continue in that spirit, this 4th of July spirit, the freedom in Christ, with a special song by the Singing Men of GNN, one that I love to air during this 4th of July weekend. And you'll hear it tomorrow and throughout the day and throughout this weekend. But as Pastor Jason and I spoke a little about the freedom in Christ that we can experience, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 4, and I'll read verses 16 through about 21, and then we'll have a little discussion on the freedom that we get to experience in Christ. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Oh, wow! Oh, this is going to be a good one, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and I look forward to hearing some of your thoughts on this as we celebrate the freedoms we enjoy in this nation, but more importantly, the freedoms we enjoy as being followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me share a song recorded by the Singing Men of GNN. This was recorded at the Krannert Center of the Performing Arts about 1 week after 9/11. So when our country was in the midst of that whole attack and crazy times and everyone was uncertain of what had happened and how to preserve our freedoms in this nation and what it meant to be attacked on our soil. And so this is the Singing Men of GNN joined by the Varsity Men's Glee Club as recorded shortly after 9/11. Jason, I just love the ending where the crowd kind of goes wild. It was shortly after 9/11, like within 6 or 9 days, we continued with that performance at the Kranich Center of the Performing Arts at the University of Illinois campus. And I love the message. We're marching on, and many look at this as the Lord's going to be returning. It's just not a celebratory, we're serving the Lord, we're marching for Him. He's going to be returning, and He's going to come with fury. It's going to be the end times when He returns, and we'll all be held accountable. But it's a great song and a great theme for this weekend as we celebrate the freedoms we do have in Christ.
Yeah, well, tomorrow is July 4th, and, you know, it's worth noting that our nation was founded on the idea that we're created to be free. In fact, it says in our Declaration of Independence that we're endowed by our Creator, that is God, with certain inalienable rights. And amongst those is life, liberty, and liberty is interchangeable with the idea of freedom, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so one of the questions when we think about that is, what is freedom, and what is freedom based upon? Is freedom based upon the country you live in? So, like, you know, if you live over here, you're not free, but if you live here, you are free, and we get to celebrate on July 4th our life and liberty and happiness, our freedoms because of where we live? I think the Bible would argue with that. I think the Bible would say, no, freedom actually has a deeper meaning. Freedom is not geographic. It's not simply geographic, because I know people who live in the freest place in the world, and they're bound up and in bondage to all kinds of things. And so freedom is not necessarily geographic. Freedom has a deeper meaning. And listen, freedom is important because freedom, if we read and survey the entirety of the Bible, people have been searching for freedom for forever. When we go to the Exodus, what is happening in the Exodus? It's this movement of people from slavery to freedom. And throughout the entirety of the Bible, we have had different points where the people of God have moved from freedom to slavery and freedom to slavery, bondage to freedom, slavery to freedom, continually, whether they're in Babylon or whether they're in Egypt or whether they're in the Babylons and Egypts of their own making. Freedom has been something that people have been searching for thousands of years, and I would venture to say that people are searching for today. That's the reason why people get themselves wrapped up in all kinds of things, because they're trying to find some sort of other freedom, something that will make them happy, that will make them feel that sense of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But not everything that makes us happy makes us free.
Mm-hmm.
And so people have been searching for that. In fact, like I said, that's what the Old Testament is. The Old Testament is this entire story of people seeking freedom, but seeking it oftentimes in the wrong way. Because, listen, the loss of physical freedom is oftentimes tied to spiritual disobedience. It's tied to worshiping the false things, chasing after the false things, and seeking the false things. And the entirety of the Bible is about God coming up against that and sending us a liberator, sending us one who will make us free. Because God's answer to the loss of freedom, God's answer to our seeking of freedom, has always been Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the answer to that. Our freedom can be found nowhere else but in Christ. And listen, I love America, and God bless America, and I love the flag. But freedom is not symbolized by the flag. The flag is simply symbolizes our geography. Our freedom is found in Christ.
Yeah.
It transcends our geography. And so I love the verse in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not entangle again with the yoke of bondage." And so we're told that, in fact, Jesus makes us free. Jesus has made us free. See, we're not in a legal relationship with God. It isn't as if God is kind of this authoritarian over us and says, "You must do this, that, 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 that," because that would just be a different kind of bondage. Instead, we have been made free by Christ to do what? To come near to God. That's the most important thing. It's not you've been set free so that you can have a big yard and you can have the car that you've always wanted. You can have all those kinds of things. Because, again, I know people who have all those kinds of things and they're still in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom, true freedom, comes from the ability to come near to God and to be able to hear Him say, "You can call me Abba. because you are my child, as Romans 8 tells us, that we can come so near to him, that we can feel the, as one writer says, the warmth of his presence and the joy of his being. And so it's Christ who makes us free so that we can be free to have this relationship with God. And God, in that, pleads with us. In fact, that's what he's doing here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He pleads with us to take up his strength and to walk in that freedom. He pleads with us not to be entangled again in a yoke of bondage and slavery. Why? Because we were created to be free, but only created to be free in Christ, through Christ, because that makes us free to be in relationship with God. Every other kind of freedom that we will celebrate will ultimately entangle us in the yoke of sin and slavery. And so we have to be very careful. We have to define all of this, all of our freedoms, based on God, because God's answer to our freedom has always been Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's Christ that makes us free, not anything else. We don't make ourselves free. We can't purchase our own freedom. I always tell people, if you could have done it yourself, you would have done it. Mm-hmm. But you can't do it yourself. You had to come to the end of yourself and see Christ as your only method, your only way to freedom. Christ makes us free. We don't make ourselves free. Freedom is a gift that Jesus gives us, that he paid for, that he bought with his blood shed upon the cross. And it's given to us and received by us through faith. See, we struggle to free ourselves, and when we struggle to free ourselves, we just become more entangled and in sin and in bondage, and it's Christ who makes us free. And I love how in Galatians, Paul is really emphatic. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, in the freedom by which Christ has made us free. Because we live in the pursuit of freedom. That's the way we live today. We live kind of headlong in this pursuit of freedom. And we think what that means is that we get to do whatever we want to do. And therefore, what we often do is we don't deny any kind of desires. And yet, in our relationship with Christ, we're told to deny desires. We're told to deny those desires that will cause us to sin and will cause us to stumble. We're told to live with high fences of righteousness so that we, because we're called to be his.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are we called to be his, but we're ambassadors in the world of his kingdom. See, that's the problem when our freedom is based on geographics, when it's based on kind of where we are geographically, then all of a sudden we believe that that's the standard that I have to live to. And I love the Declaration of Independence, and I love the Constitution, but I live to an even higher ideal than that. I live to a king and a kingdom that never ends. And he's given me this book that I can go through, and I can grow to know who he is, but I can also better understand my freedom, not just by what makes me free, but by the story of his pursuit of my freedom. You read all the pages of the Bible and you go, gosh, I think God was really serious about freeing me from sin. I think he was really serious, John 3:16, by sending his only begotten son so that I might have eternal life with him and not perish. And so God is serious about sin. He's serious about our freedom, but he doesn't want it to be the kind of false freedom, the false liberty that lets us get tangled back up inside of our own desires. And so much so that he says in Galatians 5:1 that we are to stand fast. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free.
Mm-hmm.
So we're to be firm. We're to be immovable. And the only way we're going to be firm and going to be immovable is if we understand who has made us free, if we understand the weight of our salvation and all that God did to free us, which means, friends, that you need to pick up your Bible and you need to read it, because the Bible is one of the things that the Bible is for us, is a reminder of all that God has done, all that God has done on our behalf, even in the face of all of our sin, to draw us near to himself. See, when I read the Bible, I can't escape the fact that God was serious about my salvation, that God is serious about your salvation, and in that, your freedom. You know, we celebrate smaller skirmishes and battles with greater fervor than we do in what God has done. Mm-hmm. And God fought the ultimate battle against darkness, sin, and death to free you. And he did it on a battlefield that we can't even comprehend in our minds as he pushed back darkness and declared to it, they belong to me. You know, those words in the Exodus where he says, let my people go that they may worship me. You know, that wasn't just cried out to Pharaoh through Moses. That was cried out by God to darkness and death, to demons and the devil. Let my people go because they belong to me, to worship me, set them free. And when Jesus came, he read from the scroll, just as you said, Mark, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has given me the task, the job, the mission to proclaim good news to the poor. Who are the most impoverished? Those who are in bondage. And he has sent me to proclaim liberty, freedom to the captives. He cries that out across time, and he cries it out to each one of us as we share the gospel, that as we come, the blind will see and the lame will walk. The deaf will hear. What will they hear? The name of Jesus Christ, that he is Lord, and to set liberty to those who are oppressed, to say there is freedom for you. This is the reason why one of my favorite stories in the Bible happens when the Apostle Paul in Acts, he and Silas are in prison, and they begin to sing hymns at midnight, and all of a sudden the earth shakes and the prison doors open up. And the jailer, for fear that the prisoners have escaped, run in there. And Paul says, no, we're still here. And the jailer must have looked confused, like, why didn't you escape? And the underlying message in that passage is that Paul was already free.
Mm-hmm.
You could put Paul in chains. You could put him in prison. But the brother was free because he wasn't defined by his geography. He was defined by what Christ did, that Christ, in fact, was the one who set him free. And then what did he do? The same thing that Jesus read from that scroll. Paul went out like we should go out to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that his favor has fallen upon you, that this good news has come for you, that you indeed can see, you can walk, you can hear, and you can be free. And that's the reason why, decisively in that Luke passage, then Jesus rolls up the scroll and gives it back to the attendant. In a greater and bigger way, Hebrews describes it, says that so sure was he of his actions that he sat down. He rolled up that scroll saying, there was nothing more I need to say. This is what I'm here to do, period.
Amen.
And so as we celebrate our freedom on Saturday, let's be wary of simply defining it by our geography. And instead, let's define our freedom by what God has done.
Listen to these words of Jesus. He preached the good news to the poor. He has been sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery and sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen and amen. Pastor Jason Schiffo, I didn't get to introduce you to our new WLUJ family of stations, to the WLLM listeners throughout the area. And so we'll have a more fuller introduction in the coming days. But I do want to say, if you noticed some pops in the broadcast, I found about a half hour ago that a mouse had chewed through the phone line, and I didn't have enough time to repair it. So there are some pops in this program, but hopefully it didn't distract you from this God-honoring message. Pastor Jason Schiffo serves at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. He's been a part of Mark and Friends for, close to 10 years, 9 or 10 years, many years, and we appreciate your faithfulness. You've served our country in the military, in the Army, and Tasha had a shorter stint in the Navy, and so we appreciate how you've served our country and the passion you have for veterans and basically for all to know the love of Jesus and God's plan and purpose for their life. So, Pastor Jason, our listeners are in for a real treat as you each and every Friday help divide God's word as we talk about points of application and the freedom that we can enjoy in Christ. So next Friday, when we have you back on, we'll do a little more of an introduction. I looked up in the ceiling tiles, and the mouse is caught in a trap, but he chewed through the phone line. So we'll have that repaired between now and then. But happy 4th of July, everyone. Experience that freedom that's offered in Christ as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we pray it'll be a great and safe weekend for you all. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.